If we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, do our actions support that fact, especially when it comes to those who are part of our daily lives? Here's Mike McIntosh to begin with this observation about the lost world around us.
You and I have friends that are getting closer to hell. We need to lay our lives down for them. They need to see that we're truly Christians, not just talking Christians that go to church once in a while. They need to see that you are on fire for God and righteousness means everything to you. And faithfulness and loyalty and honesty. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. You're not perfect, and that's self-righteousness. But it's the overall consuming love that you have for God that keeps them from making that decision.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Apostle Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians wrote, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Jesus himself told us that no one knows the day or the hour that he will return. Are you living your life for him? And are you sharing the new life you have in Christ with those who are perishing around you? Now is the time." Here's Mike McIntosh to resume our studies of the book of Isaiah with part 3 of his message, The Coming Kingdom and the Coming Judgment.
Fifth chapter. Verse 5 and 6 of this chapter reminds the people the wilderness experience, and God says, you'll remember, if you remember how I looked after you and how I will, there will be a cloud of smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night, and upon all the glory shall be a defense. God will be your defense. There will be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime for the heat and for a place of refuge and for a covert from the storm and from rain. Otherwise, it was 120 degrees, maybe a little warmer in the area that we were recently. And in the summer, you need to be out of that. And in Israel, in the Dead Sea area, 120 degrees, summertime. So here are these people coming through this desert. And God gives them this pillar of smoke that casts a cloud over the entire desert and gives them air conditioning in the desert. And he's protecting them. You wouldn't even think of that. But he did. And then at nighttime, a huge pillar of fire, the smoke turns into a flame, and it becomes a nightlight to them. So when they have to get up in the middle of the night to go somewhere, they don't step over somebody or trip. It also keeps the wild animals away and their enemies. God is protecting all of you. He's got such basic protection and defense. But we need to run to that defense. We need to get under the covering of that and not be out in the open of this world, totally exposed, thinking fashion and lust is where it's at. We need to hide in the mighty wings of God and stay there, because there is a storm coming where the whole earth is going to shake terribly. Fifth chapter, I fell out of my chair and got to my knees this afternoon. It just broke my heart. Every time I read it, it breaks my heart. It goes into poetry in verses 1 through 7. I'll let you read that on your own. Poetry is used to describe the work of God in planting a vineyard. It's Israel and a nation. Chapter 1, we looked at that Sunday. Same thing. Hey, I've nurtured you, but you people have turned on me. God does everything to the vineyard to make it successful, as he did for Israel. They turned on him. Verses 8 for 9, gee, you can't help but think of California. You just can't. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, track homes, till there be no place, that they be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In my ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair houses without any inhabitants. Aren't we seeing that in the foreclosures around America? From the mansions to the condos, they're desolate. Woe unto you when you keep expanding beyond what you can handle. Yes, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephod. The industry just winds down to nothing when the houses go empty. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that they continue until night, and wine inflames them. Production's down, verse 11 through 12, the party spirit, alcoholism, drinking of wine. Therefore, hell, and this is the verse. Therefore, hell, would you read it out loud with me? Therefore, hell, verse 14, has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Hell enlarges herself. Hell's on an expansion program, as you and I are on a reduction program. It's expanding, expecting to get us and our families and our friends. You parse that verse out and you can't help but see what it is. Verse 13 says the wise person looks over the landscape and there's very few real leaders anymore. Today's fiasco in the world of economics caught the wisest men on the planet by surprise. And captivity holds them back. And you could ask yourself, what captivity holds me back? Are you a slave to the lender that you have borrowed? And now, as Solomon says, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And because of all this judgment, because all the people getting their eyes off on the flesh and on the wrong things, hell gets aggressive and expands itself. They're down under the earth right now saying, we're getting more. To me, personally, this is one of the most sobering statements in the entire Bible. In fact, in any written document or graffiti on a subway wall or a best-selling novel, I don't think there are any words put together that are more sobering than these. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory, everything about them that was their glory, their multitude, so many of them, so far from God, their pomp, their arrogance, their pride, and he that rejoices is going to descend, go down into hell. So if you parse the verse and you look at it, you got number one, hell, a place, a location, a real place. Number two, it enlarged. It expands because more are being brought into it, and it does it by herself. You almost wonder if the souls that are there tonight, that part of their torment, is that they're like the slaves building the pyramids without any straw in their bricks. And they're the ones doing the work to get their friends a little cell down in the pit of hell. The entrance, this picturesque poetic statement, without measure, opens her mouth like a fish just opening the mouth bigger and bigger, or an animal or ourself to get more pizza in. It's a picture that says the entrance that goes into hell tonight is very wide, and it's big enough to cause people to slip, trip, and stumble and descend into it without even getting a full-blown invitation that said, tonight's your night, you die, you come to hell. You and I have friends that are getting closer to hell. We need to lay our lives down for them. They need to see that we're truly Christians, not just talking Christians that go to church once in a while. They need to see that you are on fire for God and righteousness means everything to you. And faithfulness and loyalty and honesty. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. You're not perfect, and that's self-righteousness. But it's the overall consuming love that you have for God that keeps them from making that decision. As a mother called me in tears last night and said, my daughter's going to kill herself. She said she's going to put a gun to her head and kill herself. Tonight, what can I do? Well, what can she do? She's hundreds of miles away. She can pray. You have friends, and maybe you yourself are a footstep away from that open mouth just designed as a party. And it's the mouth of hell that's camouflaged. And it's been designed to look like business or entertainment. And it's actually the entrance of hell for your soul. Hell's a real place. It's a real location. It has the capacity to increase its holding capacity without getting a building permit from the planning commission. This is frightening. It should make us all fall to our knees and beg the mercy of God for our own souls and those we love and those all around the world. Man's glory, his pomp, his Oscars, his awards, his everything, the large numbers descending into hell every day, every hour, every minute as we've sat here. Thousands have perished for eternity into this place. It should stir us up. Chuck Smith always taught us, when you see the therefore, look for the wherefore. And the therefore is that hell moves forward because of the wherefore, that the women had gotten so worldly and loose and the men got so into themselves that their population dies. And the leaders got so greedy and consumed with their pomp and their arrogance and whatever they did and had, that they lost it all in a moment. The wherefore is the reason of the therefore that hell does this. Hell feels it has a free rein that nobody is going to stand up and resist it and tell the public that it's there. Just like that sign in Olympia, Washington, next door to baby Jesus, saying that there is no God, there is no devil, there is no heaven, there is no hell, that religion is really a distraction of people's minds. And a governor says, yeah, you can put that there next to that Christian thing if you want to. I let them put their Christian thing. Yeah, you can ride your bicycles naked around town. We're not going to arrest you for that. If you want to be totally gone, little boys and girls see you laying out in the park sunning yourselves, yeah, our judges will support that. Yeah, our judges will support. And you realize one of the things that was taken away was the wisdom of judges as you read these chapters. And the political leaders became babes and inexperienced young leaders instead. Sign of judgment. Where has America gone? The actions of people, the declining spirituality of individuals, is called the death of a nation. Here's what it says. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without any measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Mean people, mighty people, lofty people, everyone's held accountable. Isaiah says every person must give an account of himself and how they handled their lives on earth while living here. We have to answer. And so many times in my mind, maybe you've done this, I don't think you're nuts like I am, but maybe you go back to high school and you remember a party or a guy or a girl, or you go back to when you were 16 or you're 21, or and you remember these times in Egypt when you were a slave, and you're trying to be a good Christian girl and you're trying to be a good Christian guy, and the devil makes you smell the leeks and the onions from Egypt. Why am I struggling here trying to be good and fight all of this off? Why don't I just give in and go back to slavery? At least I had those memories. Oh no. The reason you're struggling is you're getting closer to God, and the devil's really upset with you, and he wants you to fall on your face and give up. He wants you to put your Bible down. He wants you to quit praying. He wants you to stop tithing. If he can stop you from tithing, he stops the churches from moving forward. He stops the fuel and mission aviation from taking the missionaries into the jungle strips around the world. He stops the Christian schools from existing. They don't need to shut us down. We shut ourselves down. We get stingy with our money, and the devil doesn't have to do anything. We get stingy with our prayer life and our Bible time. Devil doesn't have to do anything. No. Hell has enlarged itself. We have to give an account of ourselves. And here's what it says in the Living Bible. Hell is licking its chops in anticipation of this delicious morsel, Jerusalem. Her great and small shall be swallowed up, and all of her drunken throngs. All the sororities and fraternities and the drunken crowds are just going down by the millions. Licking her chops. That really says it, doesn't it? Here's the contrast of the judgment, the judged and the judge. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness, because he is going to take everything, and he's going to clean it up. But yet, you know, in closing here, it says that God will raise a ensign. You see that in verse 17? That word in the Hebrew, ensign, means he's going to raise up a post or a pole. It's going to stand up higher. It's going to be a signal. People are going to look and they say, hey, there's a signal over there. He says, I'm going to hiss at him. And these nations, like Russia, are going to say, what's going on over there? And whatever this sign is, they're going to come to Israel and pounce upon Jerusalem. We're getting real close to that. I think the pole has been raised in the Middle East and in America, and God is saying, I'm stepping back. These people don't want me. And these vultures are saying, let's go. Let's go. Let's get them. Let's rip them to shreds with our talons. But it says the invading armies will come with a super strength. They won't be tired. They won't wear out with all their armor, their horses. Their hooves will be like flint. Their military might will be so strong when they show up with all the time zone change and everything. They're going to make it. And you're going to be in dismay of the destruction when you read those eight verses, it says in verse 17 to 25. Open your eyes. The hand is removed. And accept my people that are called by my name. Will cry out and humble themselves and seek my face and pray. Except you and I will be held accountable for what happens in this country for not praying and not going and not giving and not seeking and not caring. It's right before us. Four woes. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. And we'll look at the four woes. And then the 106 woes that are in the Bible, 21 of them are found in the book of Isaiah. Of all the 106 woes that are found in the Bible, 26 are right here from this one prophet. Father, we say to you, forgive us of our sins. And we beg your mercy. And we pray for your grace in our lives and our hearts. We tremble at the thought that hell is enlarging herself and increasing its intake from Mumbai, India, to the back streets of New York, to the villages of South America. We stand with you, Lord, as the ensign has been raised up to tell the enemy of human beings that they can come and invade now because your people don't care. We stand up and beg you, we care. And we don't want our friends to perish. We don't want our family to perish. God, give us hearts that you'll give us the spark and your word will be the fuel that nothing could quench it ever. That we'll make a covenant and a lasting commitment with you to serve you and to win souls into your kingdom. Lord God, you lift up the greatest ensign and pole. As Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in the wilderness, your own son said, you also lifted up Jesus on the cross, that whoever would look up to him and believe in him would have eternal life. And we look up at that ensign, that pole, that signal from heaven, and we beg your forgiveness of our sins and our apathy, our lukewarm attitude as Christians. And we beg you, God, if there's 36 hours or 36 months left for us, or 36 years, we beg you that you will keep us consumed with you and not ourselves, or one iota of this world. So God, please help us. We beg you. Open our ears, enlarge our hearts with more love and compassion and understanding and acceptance and forgiveness. In pity and empathy for lost. Open us, Lord, open us for you, for more of you. We beg you, for more of you, we ask you to show us your royal majesty. We do not want to hide in the mountains. We don't fear what's going to happen with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They're not coming for us. We just beg you, give us more of you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Shut us down if we're just a organization and we're just people showing up. But enliven us and enlarge our coasts, Lord, if we're truly people that love you and want you, and you want us and you're pleased with us. Father, we beg you, touch us. Walk through this audience, touch every shoulder, every heart, every head. Breathe upon them with your Holy Spirit that they would be witnesses unto you. Realize you have us here in this room as your servants, and we're telling you, Father, we're not as disciplined as our Muslim friends that get together and bow five times a day toward Mecca. We find it difficult to bow 5 minutes a day towards heaven, and we ask your forgiveness. God, we beg you that you would do something supernatural with Horizon Christian Fellowship and with every human being that calls it its home. We pray, Father, that you will win souls into your kingdom like you've never done in San Diego County before. We pray, Father, that these men and women that sit before you, I just present them to you, Lord, that they would just have a fire in them and become teachers of hundreds each. That you would set before them people that say, teach me. Like these seven women running to the one man, you'd send us seven people that run to us and say, teach me about your Lord. God, open our hearts to be people that would pray about everyone and everything we hear. And so we humble ourselves as we worship you now, and we pray that you'd baptize us afresh with your Holy Ghost. And you'd give us a second start here. Flint striking flint, and the spark would ignite with your word into our souls that would come on fire for you. And a revival would break forth and follow each one of us home. In God, silver and gold have we none, but what we do have, we do want to give to the city of San Diego. And so let us give more faith and more love and more word. Spare this city, God. Spare it as it drags its vanity down the streets, lassoing its sin with a rope, as Isaiah said. As we blatantly blast our speakers out to the world that you can come and sin freely in the borders of our city, we pray that an ensign will go up that will say, you can come and get saved in San Diego. You can come and meet holy women that are chaste and pure. They're not flaunting themselves, and these women are not haughty in San Diego, showing their bodies off and wearing the bling to draw attention. And the men are not caught up in things that are wrong, that they're dissipating their own lives and bodies, but they're warriors for the kingdom of God. They're solid men rooted and anchored in the word of God. They have no need that any man teaches them, but the anointing which they have received from the Spirit will teach them and lead them and guide them. They'll be disciplers of babes in Christ, and they will be mature men that will lead and speak truth. And these women will be as Sarah and the women of old. You'll just behold their faces and see these are godly women. As you have shown us that the sin of man gives them away just by looking at their countenance, may these men and women sitting before you have the brightest light of heaven shining upon them. And as the Magi, the three wise men, came seeking the star of Bethlehem, that these people would be brighter than that star, that you'll bring the wise people to them to find Jesus Christ. May you have pity on our government. May you have mercy on our education systems. May you have forgiveness for our fellow countrymen. And may you rebuke Lucifer and bind him until we can accomplish what you have for us. In Jesus Christ's most precious name. As our heads are bowed, some of you know the call is here for you. And I want you to get up and come forward right now. I think some of you are being called that you're going to surrender to him right now for your soul. You know it. Some of you, you've backslidden. You've gone so far away from him and the filth is dripping off of you. And you've heard him call you. He's going to cleanse you. You come right now. Just walk up here right now. And then many of you have been called, you know it, to serve him. You've got to answer this call. You can't put it off. This is it. Come. Come as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ and let his Spirit flood you right now. Come.
That's Mike McIntosh closing our studies for the day about an interesting passage of Scripture from the book of Isaiah. On the next broadcast of CNV, we'll continue in our studies and our message will be, Woe unto them. If you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving into him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMcIntosh.com and click under Know God. As we close our broadcast for today, I would like to take a moment once again to remind you that Chapter and Verse only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So we do appreciate you praying for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at mikemackintosh.com. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Now, may we invite you to join us tomorrow here on this station for more teaching with Mike McIntosh from the Book of Isaiah. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.